welcome you to our board meeting today. Those of you that have come out, and we will begin by all standing and saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we go into our board action items, let's turn a few minutes over to Mr. Peacock, Mayor Peacock, and Commissioner Sitters. They are not on the agenda, but we would like to get them going first.
Well, you know, I really want to talk about Mr. Crawford first.
Oh, good.
About a month ago, I was coming down the road and caught him and his wife in the dumpster diving.
Dumpster diving?
So, yeah, if he needs some food to sport, you know, kind of help him out. I just got a new grandchild, and I didn't think congratulate him there, but they were in the dumpster and had a pole digging stuff out of the dumpster. So, things must be rough with the employees.
Special duty.
So, tell you want a raise now.
You better double his wages. No, what we're really here for is actually 2 years ago, if you recall, I met with you in Green River, and we discussed the swimming pool and a land transfer, and because of your transfer of land, the swimming pool is not complete. We cut the ribbon Monday, had a walkthrough, we were busy all night long, we had people there, we sold about 20 season passes, and the swimming pool will be open next week from Tuesday through Saturday for free swimming. So, but I just wanted to come to board and say thank you. The project would have never happened without this board. And I hope the schools will use it. It's there for them to use, and it was a good project.
I just wanted to say something of the same thing, Castledale City. You remember a few years ago, I appeared before you and said, we're going to build a pool. I don't know how sure I was, but there is a pool, and a large part of that is because of you and your efforts, and I just want to, on behalf of the citizens of Castledale, thank you for your efforts and everything you did there, and the commitment you've made, and I want you to know that we're committed to making this good for the students of the Emory School District, from Elmo to Emory and Green River to, I don't know, where's the other side? up the Huntington Canyon. Huntington Canyon. And so just Commissioner Sitters and I talked about this and thought that it would be appropriate for us to come and express our gratitude and appreciation for all that you've done.
Remember the agreement we signed that gives the schools right to the building. So that will be left in place. And we do have some schools already have days to come in. So.
We appreciate that, and I think we can say back at you, this is really, you guys did the legwork and the hard work, and we realize that. We know where the credit lies, but thank you for thanking us. We know that it's
Board
because of your...
And
it gives us an opportunity to tell Commissioner Sitters how much we appreciate the work he's done while he's been on the board,
it's
and how much we appreciate
it.
We appreciate it.
It's time to move on.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Me and Mr. Ware are losers this year, but we've done our service. So.
You know, it's interesting. I go to the clinic once a week to get my blood tested to see how thin or thick it is. And after I leave there, I always drive right up by the pool. And right in close as far as I can get, make the U-turn. And I know they begin to wonder, what is this guy? What is going on?
You're the only one that does
well,
that.
And if you would like to sit before people go in, I would take you up there anytime you'd like.
That'd be great.
Give me a call. Matter of fact, I'll be in Salt Lake. I'm leaving tonight, so be gone the rest of this week. But Monday I'll be back, and if anyone would like to go. And we appreciate Gwen being there. She helped us cut the ribbon. So.
Okay.
I can do it. Tell them they need to go see this pool. You need
you
to
know,
go
I
through
have to
it.
Say, I sat in on the first meeting. What? How long ago was that? So I first started high school.
Long time.
Decades.
7 years
ago. And when I first started thinking and watching, hearing the vision of that, it was like, I don't think so. And you walk into it, it just is an amazing structure. I know the work that it took, and I know the hardships that came along the way through doing that. So.
Well, it's sure good work with me, because whenever I get this theory, just give me a gift.
And vice versa.
Good job.
Well, I'm amazed to hear the excitement in the community with it. It has really spread, and that's nice to have something to be excited about.
Well, thank you again. So
thank you.
We're with you all the way.
Appreciate it.
What's next?
I'd like to make one comment. I don't think either one of you are losers. I believe both of you are winners. Yeah,
but
didn't receive the majority of the vote.
Yeah.
That's
the
difference.
We've done our
service. I had a guy come up to me last week and say, "Good Lord, I thought you'd never learn how." I'd be a winner.
Thank you. Well, I think with that laid in, I would like to stand and present this plaque of our appreciation to Lou Ware. I know that myself personally have leaned on Rue Ware's many years of teaching experience. He brought so much to the board in relationship to his construction knowledge. There were so many times when we would lean on his expertise, and he has added a lot. He cares about this community. He cares about the school board. He cares about the students that are in this community, and we will feel a great loss at his moving on to something perhaps more enjoyable for him, I'm sure. And we wish him well, and just can't even express how much we've appreciated working with him. So with that, I will give you that. Anyone else like to add to that? I'm not very good at expressing myself, but I hope you know that we do appreciate you.
I understand. I was tallying up last night where I've been and what I've been doing. And by golly, you know, I added some of those things that kind of mesh together. And then you think, oh, yeah, I built a home. I built a chapel in Orangeville. I built 5 libraries for the county, not directly, but responsible. The courthouse, the sheriff's office on the hill, a career center at CEU. By the time I got through adding them up, I was in the 90s.
There you are.
And I had to go back and check my birth certificate. 90 years. Yeah. 90 years. But one thing that stands out, and I've got to say this, I was going to say it many times, but I didn't. As we stand to pledge allegiance to the flag, I'm reminded of the McCord Air Force Base near Seattle, Washington. As a new inductee in the Air Force, new with the second lieutenant, we marched every night from the squadron area down to the headquarters area, about a mile and a half we'd march. And it was comfortable weather. When we got there at the flag, not knowing what was going to happen, but now they begin to lower the flag. And, you know, it's kind of a solemn thought, the flag coming down, hundreds of men, and then out of the clear blue, literally, 2 F-86 fighters coming right straight towards us. And as they got to the flag, they split, one on one side, one on the other, and then into a steep climb every night when they lowered the flag. And that was really, really an emotional thought for everybody there. And now we pledge allegiance to the flag and the beginning of our meeting. But those kinds of experiences have a way of staying with me, and I appreciate that. I spent 2 years in the Air Force. Nothing very exciting. We didn't shoot down a plane. We didn't bomb anyone. But we we did know where they were in the sky. And that was my responsibility, to make sure we could know where they were in the sky.
There's 2 more years of service, so you're up to 92. You didn't
well,
have
that,
that,
that included.
Okay.
Yeah, that included that.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'll say just a little bit. The first year I started to teach, Lou was a senior. And then a few years later, we talked together. And then, of course, he worked out of the district office. And we've been here on the school board, and I have just appreciated Lou all of my life. And thank you, Lou, for all that you have done.
Well, he's 91 and you're
108. Well, thank you. I think we could go on all night, but
well,
we will go on and start our first item, which are the consent items, the warrants and the minutes for November. Any questions or concerns about that?
None. I'll make a motion. We approve them.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have met with the auditors, and we have gone through the financial report that they do every year. We have this available if anybody would like to look at that or go through it if they want some light reading. But I have to say to you that the audit went very well and shines a very positive light on those who take care of the financial situations of our school district. And that would reflect on Jackie and Jared. And we just can't say how much we appreciate them. They do a marvelous job. And the auditors confirmed that tonight. So with that, we need approval of the independent auditor's report for fiscal year 2008.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? We have a request for a combined junior high Christmas dance. Principal Johnson.
Thank you. First let me say, Mr. Ware, thank you for all your service.
And the library is now done.
It is done.
Wow.
We invite you to come and see it. It's gorgeous.
We'll do it.
It's a tremendous job. Very meticulous.
We'll come and take a look.
It is very nice. Thank you. In the last few years, we've had a combined dance in February. Last February, our student council started talking a little bit and thought that might be a nice idea to do one dance at NEU and one dance at San Rafael. So we have 2 dances through the year. And so we're thinking of the Christmas dance and then the February dance. We're requesting an extra dance for our school. This year our school will travel to NEU for the Christmas dance, if you approve that, and then NEU will travel to our school for the February dance, the Valentine's dance. And so we're seeking approval for that.
You felt like it's been successful. Felt like has
our school dance, per se, have dropped in the numbers of kids that are coming. So the last dance we had 70 kids of our 230. This year we have 219 kids. We're not expecting many more to the dance, and it cost us about $250. For each school to get a disc jockey to run the dance. So, in the same, we'd only have to do that once in the year, or twice in the year, at the end of those and at the end of the year dance. And then the other school would pick up the other one. So, we think we would save a little bit of money that way. I'm not sure we'd still have to bus kids over. I'm not sure how, what those costs would be. But we think that the 2 dances together. Kids have been very well behaved. We've never had any trouble with it. And it kind of sparks some interest. And we like to have Mr. Davis and I talked earlier about this when he was principal at Canterbury. And we like to have something besides just a competitive rival. We like to have cooperation and get togethers to do those kinds of things, like with the sports, but outside of the sports venue.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion?
Follow the same guidelines.
Same guidelines as we did before. Chaperones on whichever direction the buses are going.
Do we usually take two buses?
We can get, if it's 70 kids, if it's 77 kids, we can do it on one bus. If it's 79 kids, we can't do it on one bus. We grow significantly. In
What is it generally?
Generally, we can do it with two buses. Emily, we can pick up Emily and Saren in one bus easily, and then Casadomo and Joe on one bus. But we generally done two buses.
Can I move we approve it?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Good luck.
May I mention Honor Choir? I don't want to do what's not on the agenda, but that's coming up January 24th. And that has in the past been approved for Mr. Boncher to take it between 8 and 12 kids on another night trip for Honor Choir.
We probably can't act on it tonight, but we can certainly bring it up in January.
Okay.
That's always been a very worthwhile project for them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just out of information, have you got a Christmas concert coming up then?
It's tonight.
Oh.
The choir, the band will be in 2 weeks.
We have an other item on here, and I think we're going to turn the time over to Kevin D. for who would like to just talk about the Emory High School football program. So we will give you a few minutes.
I'm new to this area. I moved here from Seabrook about 2 years ago, and I coached at Utah Weaver State. I coached at Oracle Law McBride for many years, for a few years. And I just want to say that I never thought I'd meet another man like Lon, who was a coach that kids would love, and kind of met Coach Jones. And I think that support we have tonight, and I know those others that wish they could be there, but we really feel that this team really needs Coach Jones next year. To bring in a new coach with this group of kids, change a whole new offense with a learning experience all over again, and for a team that has a chance to be very good next year, we feel that, and I feel that, Coach Jones needs to be that guy. You bring someone else in now, and you're hurting these kids that are going to be seniors and juniors who play for Ron and Jimmy. And, you know, Jimmy's a player's coach. He would do anything for his team, for his players, for the coaches. You know, he loves football. He loves these kids. And I just feel that it just wouldn't be right without Jimmy. And like I said, this is my first year with him. And I've been with many coaches and played for many coaches, and I've just never met a man like Jimmy that could take a team that's like this group. And yeah, we had a disappointing season, but these kids played hard, and Jimmy made them play hard, and I just feel that these kids deserve to have somebody back. I know being a principal is hard to do, but he's able to do it this year. All he's missing is Fridays. We don't start practice till after 4, and I've been in high school in California when the principal has been the coach and hasn't affected it, and his job. And like I said, I just feel that these kids deserve to have coach. That's just my opinion, in their opinion.
We appreciate that, and we will certainly take that into consideration, and I appreciate you being here and showing your support.
There's no one up here that doesn't recognize the value of our athletic program, and the value that Coach Jones has been to the football program over the years. I think we all recognize that. You all need to know that Coach Jones and I had this discussion before he ever applied for a principalship. And I told him at that time that he needed to understand what his goals were. And at that time, he indicated to me that he knew what his goals were. His goals were to become an administrator and to work into that realm, and that coaching would have to go by the wayside, because it's been our strong feeling that a focus of our principal needs to be on
the total school program, particularly the academic areas, particularly as we look at No Child Left Behind and the challenge that that is to our schools, and it's going to become more and more so. And he indicated at that time that he understood that, and this is the direction he wanted to go. And I know that's in his blood, and I know how you players feel, and many of the parents. And I just need you to know that this discussion was held early on in that process. It's true that there's probably no one out there that has more experience than he does at this point that we're aware of. And if there was some way for us to be able to do this and make a transition over a period of time, I think that we'd be willing, as a board, to be willing to consider that. But in the long term, I think the goal is for our principals to focus on other things. And so if there was a way to make a transition where he could still be involved and still be there and be supportive and helping and assisting and however, whatever capacity that is, but at some point, our principals have got to make a transition away from the coaching into the administrative arena. And so I just want you all to understand that this wasn't just something that we're trying to say, Coach Jones, you're out. I think the board and the district take it very seriously. We understand the importance of the program, and it's not an easy thing. Another concern that we all have is, where does it end? If we open it for football, then do we open it for basketball, for volleyball, for track, for wrestling, for baseball? Where does it end? There has to be some strict guidelines on how we approach this. As I look across this state, I don't know about California, but there are no 3A principals who are coaches, even though some of them came from the coaching realm. In some isolated areas where there's 1A schools that are very isolated, that's common practice, where the principal does step in and help where they need to. And I'm not saying that it won't happen. I'm just saying that there's a lot of things to consider in this, and it's not something that's being taken lightly. I appreciate the support that, at least from a superintendent standpoint, that you're showing towards Coach Jones. He is a great man, and he is a good example, and he is very skilled and talented in the coaching arena. But as a school board and school district, we have to look at the total program and where we need to be focusing our efforts. And if there's some way to look at transition, we can look at transition. But at some point, we have to make that separation. You understand what I'm talking about? And so I don't. You can rest assured the board does take it seriously and will consider it, along with Mr. Davis, the principal at the high school. We also have a junior high school that needs his attention, and the staff and students there need his full attention also. And football is probably a sport that's probably the shortest season. It's probably the least intrusive, but it does set precedence that you don't know where to draw the line and stop. I just need you to understand that, and that we do feel like it's important. It's an important decision. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we do appreciate your coming.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go on with the agenda item. We have the approval of monthly meeting calendar for 2009.
I might say you can sit through the whole meeting if you want, but you're welcome to listen to all of this, but some of them might get real boring if you decide to need to leave that spot. We took that early in case any of you need to leave. Sorry, you're wrong.
No, that's fine. I appreciate that. My only concern is we do have a new board member coming that may have some problems with that. My only concern about doing it now would be
have to do it in this meeting.
Okay.
And we did send her a copy of the schedule and asked her to let us know if there was any problem or conflict. But
all right.
It has to be done in this meeting in order for you to have a legal meeting in January.
I move that we validated as it was supposed to.
I would second that. It's a very good schedule.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have some names for approval.
Well, we have one name tonight. I'm recommending the board that you approve the name of Reed Salberg to be an assistant wrestling coach at Edwards High School. He's already, I think, involved right now, but we haven't had a meeting to approve that, so I recommend approval.
I would make the motion that we approve Reed Salberg.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have some policy actions, some revisions of the existing policy.
We have a number of them. We have, at this time, because of new state board of education rules and legislation that took place in last year's legislature, where we were required to update certain policies and create new policies, I have brought to you a list of, I can't give you a count, but I can go through them. We have a policy, a revision of our policy on the use of electronic communication device by students. This policy is being revised to match the new state board rule that came out in the State Office of Education. And basically, it doesn't make significant changes, but it does add a piece about the search on cell phones. If I can find that real quick. It talks about the restrictions on search of cell phone electronic devices and restricts it to the area where there may be a violation of policy and not does it make it so it isn't opened up for search of a cell phone or electronic device in any other areas. And it also prohibits the use of an electronic device for video or audio capture recording of the words or images of others without express notice and explicit consent. That's a violation of law. And also, in addition to that policy, a confiscated electronic communication device, which you have to understand, folks, is generally a cell phone, but it does include other things, will be given to the school principal or his or her designee and returned to the student or the student's parent or guardian at the end of the school day. Repeated violation of the policy may lead to student suspension or expulsion and will require the parent or guardian of the student to pick up the device from the principal or his or her designee. So that policy has been revised to come in line with state board rule. We have a new policy on electronic communication device by employees. This is also by state board rule, and basically that restricts the use of electronic devices on school property during work hours, except if it's related to medical or family emergencies, or to protect the safety and welfare of oneself or others. It does allow them to be used during lunch times, break times, preparation times, except that it shall not interfere with the preparation and instruction of students. Electronic communication devices cannot be used in a way that might reasonably create in the mind of the person that they're being threatened or intimidated or embarrassed or harassed. The big part of this policy is the use of electronic devices while operating district vehicles, including school buses. It prohibits that use while the vehicle is in motion. When the vehicle is stopped and appropriately secured, those devices may be used for emergencies or call for assistance if there's a mechanical problem, take care of special student needs, deal with behavior management. But an employee operating a bus cannot use a cell phone or electronic device for personal use until the bus is safely parked off the roadway and all passengers are safely off and moved away from the bus. That's a new policy. We also have a new policy on bullying and hazing required by state law. I'm not going to go clear through that, but in the past, each school individually has been required to have a bullying and hazing policy. The district, the board will now have its own policy. All school policies will have to conform to that. It's quite comprehensive, but that's a new policy. That came about because of House Bill 325 in the past legislative session. We have several support staff policies, and most of you won't know what I'm talking about, but we have policy GDI, GCJ, GDO, GDA, GCQ, GDQ, those are personnel policies that relate to probation, tenure, classification, staff evaluation, orderly dismissal. Those policies are written to update the terminology to match the orderly dismissal laws, which define what provisional employees are. And we had to update and revise our policies to match that law, in that a new employee is provisional for 3 years after employment in the school district. So those policies are there and updated. We have a revision to our student wellness policy, and that was revised to match the new policy that is being presented tonight, EFE, which is food sales and vending machines. This is a policy required now, again, by state board rule. This is a policy that could have gone anywhere from eliminating vending machines and food sales to restricting them to only to foods of nutritional value. That's basically the goal of the state board and others, would be to eliminate all foods of non-nutritional value. There's some funding issues related to this, and there's also, you go the other direction, with pushing students off our high school campuses downtown more, which we don't want to do. And so we're trying to find a balance. So basically the policy would restrict the sale of foods of non-nutritional value to 40% of foods that are in food sale stores or in vending machines. So at least 60% of foods in vending machines would have to be foods of nutritional value, as defined by the Department of Agriculture. They have a division for this. I look it up, I can find it. Dietary guidelines. Foods of minimal nutritional value are defined in the policy, listed in the policy, but it would require schools at least 60% of food items or beverages that are sold at schools, in our secondary schools, be of nutritional value. And it does eliminate vending sales accessible to students from elementary school, which we have very few. We do have a few, but not most of our elementary do not have vending sales. Now, those vending sales and those food sales after school hours at activities, so forth, this policy doesn't cover. It only covers those sales during school hours. So if we're worried about concession sales at games and activities, it doesn't cover that. So that's a new policy. We also have a revision to our interscholastic athletic policy. This revision would prohibit elementary students from competing in secondary athletic competition without prior board approval. That board approval would come from the school, not from the parents, but from the school itself. The only exceptions would probably be in a case where you would have a situation where you may not have enough students in the seventh grade to have a team, Green River High as an example, where we have a 1A school who has a limited enrollment, and I know in at least 1 year we had to bring a couple of sixth graders up to play basketball to even have a team. And that was approved by the board prior to that. Your current policy did not have that restriction. What the board would really like to avoid is having seventh or junior high students excluded from participation because we have an extremely talented fifth or sixth grader that could come up and participate. And feel like that ought to be limited to those in the school unless there's a legitimate reason to waive that. So that's the revision. Doesn't mean that an elementary student after school hours could not go up and practice with the junior high team, work out with them, but they would not be able to compete with them in the competition as a member of the team. I think that's the policies. Did I miss any?
One of the items.
Yes, there's one more.
That jumps out at me, sir. We're taking away the temporary employee title.
Okay.
And putting in at-will employees.
Well, we're not taking it away.
We have
both. In the past, we've defined temporary employee as an at-will employee, and that's an improper definition. So we've changed the definition so the temporary employee is just what it says. It's someone that we hire on a temporary basis. It's time limited. Those employees would not be with us maybe the year round. They might come in on a substitute basis for a short period of time or for a certain job or program. And that will employee is any employee who is less than 20 hours per week.
Less than 20.
Yeah. Those are considered at will employees. Also, the policies have changed the term contract on staff development policies to annual employment period. We don't issue contracts for support staff. We give a statement of earnings, what that earnings would be. But the term contract is being changed to annual employment period. It doesn't really change anything other than the name. And I also would like board approval to change anywhere that the term contract is used in those policies. And I know that there's at least five others that we've searched out and found that we have authorization to change that term contract to annual employment period. Our annual employment periods are different for different groups of employees, the year.
Yeah.
And so it's one of the reasons that we'd like to have that change. So I'm recommending to the board those changes in policy and those new policies.
So moved.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We appreciate the work you've done on that. That's a lot of effort on your part, and we appreciate that. We will go ahead then with the evaluation program approval.
Yeah, we have, as you're aware, we went into a review of our employee evaluation program. We made a lot of copies of that. We made some initial revisions. We sent it out. We had asked for input from board members, from supervisors, principals, assistant principals, all our educators, our support staff, and we also sent it out to our school community council. I've attached a sheet to the report that I've given you tonight for the changes that we've made in this evaluation because of that input. After we received the feedback, we're making the following changes in the document that you received initially. Under the support staff evaluation, we're changing the rating scale to match the scale for professional employees so that there's no confusion by principals. In other words, in the support staff, I can't remember which direction it went, Brian. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
4 was the best for support staff.
And 1 was the best for professional staff as far as their performance.
Okay.
So mix them up, I made the mistake with one of my support staff where on the areas I complimented her highly, I gave her 3. And she came back, wait a minute, I thought, and it showed it as being the worst rating I could give her. And I had to just apologize for it.
So we changed the rating scale so they're the same for both professional and support staff. We changed the term contract to annual employment period, and we've defined the frequency of evaluations for at-will employees. And the frequency will be the same as for provisional and career employees. In other words, they will be evaluated twice during their first year of employment and then once every 3 years after they get 3 years in. So it's the same. We just defined that at-will will be evaluated the same on the same frequency as the others. On the educator evaluation, we added to that evaluation provides appropriate and timely feedback to students to the evaluation instrument. It was there initially, but when we revised, somehow it got left off in the cut and paste. So from the document you did have, we added it back in. And also, we're going to allow 10 days instead of 3 days after the last observation for the evaluator to do a summative conference with the educator. Felt like the 3 days was really tough to meet. Once you've done, you need to put together a summative report and then have time to go through that and then sit down and conference. So we've extended that to 10 days instead of 3 days. Those are the only changes after receiving the feedback. So with those changes, I'm recommending that the board approve the employee evaluation program.
I'll make that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for that. I wish you had the book evaluation to show. It's quite a process and a lot of time involved.
Well,
so if there's
it's
only
right here. It doesn't look that thick, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. And a lot of, if there's only that many changes, that's commendable. So we will go ahead to the principal's report. Principal Dawes, if you're ready, we'll.
He's visiting. Ryan, you're up.
Ready. There's computer talking over there. You see it in their eyes.
Yeah, I'm planning on practicing my speech. Well, I want to welcome you all to Barrett Elementary, and I apologize. I didn't quite get the message that you were starting at 6 with the auditors. And then I really apologize because you had to sit and meet with the auditors. So, appreciate Superintendent and John opening up and turning on the lights. And
he didn't do that.
He didn't?
No.
Oh,
Kurt did after he called me.
I apologize. I thought being a half hour early was going to be more than enough time to have everything in place. When, to my surprise, I was a half hour late. But anyway, apologize for that. And Rue, I did owe the compliments and the recognitions that were paid earlier in the tribute, because as I've sat through meetings, I know. It doesn't matter how thick the document was, you could provide very clear evidence that you had read every page and pick out the typos that Kirk had intentionally left so that you could find them, or just you could find the area that needed the direction, and thank you, and good luck.
Well, we're always impressed with this building.
Thank you. We have a fun time down here, and a good experience at NCAD. There's some of the great things happening here. This year we did make AYP, which was a good relief to get off alert. We were able to raise the performance of our students with special needs test scores, and that is certainly a relief. As we looked at the test scores, we did find that there were some areas of concern that we need to be watchful for next year. And so to really work, to really try to bridge those concerns, we adopted another intervention program. It's the SRA for the second and third grade, and we have had our aides that have become trained in that, and we're seeing some really good successes as they're working in small groups, helping these students with their reading skills, really working to help all of the students and the strugglers be able to develop better and stronger skills. We found that we had a lot of good interventions for first and second grade, and we had some interventions in place for the fourth, fifth, and sixth, but we found that the ranking was third and fourth, but there was some slacking, and where the overlap with the upper grade intervention didn't quite hit them. They had been in some of the interventions used with first and second grade for a number of years, and so we were able to find some more material, and our aides are energized as they work with those kids. And you'll find that as you come through our school during in the morning hours, you'll find our lunchroom has two or three small groups being taught. Our Title I room is being used. A couple of the tables are being used where our aides are providing those additional instruction opportunities so that the strugglers are getting the regular instruction in the classroom and then some real focused needs. Or focused instruction is based on their learning needs. About every 6 to 8 weeks, we meet together. We hire a floating sub, and our teachers and our aides, a Title I coordinator, a resource teacher, and myself, we sit together and we go through each class and discuss with the teacher. These are the students who are identified as being on an IEP. These are students we have identified as Title I students. What are we doing? This is what we've been doing. How is it working? And we're able to discuss each individual student for a few minutes, adjust whatever the curriculum needs are for that student, and then work on the next one. And we're with a teacher for about an hour, maybe an hour and 20 minutes. And those are exhausting days for Loretta and Stephanie and I.
But when it's all done, it's very rare for a principal to be thanked by staff members for participating in a meeting. The teachers regularly, when they're done with this, say, well, thank you. This was so nice, and it, sometimes it gives the teacher an opportunity to vent. We're able to synergize and look for solutions for some of these hard-to-reach students. And this is our third year that we've been doing this, and we've really seen some great fruits from having these student staffing meetings just to discuss what are the needs, what are we doing, how is it working, and how do we need to adjust it to continue to help them be successful. Another area that we've added to these staffing meetings is a student behavior discussion, where some of these students are also behavior problems. And this year we've been using and working with Amy Bell. We're so appreciative to have her on our district staff and available, because her expertise is just so remarkable. And she's been able to go in, observe teachers, be able to get some pointers, work with some of our real difficult classes in teaching social skills directly to the entire class, and to give pointers to the teachers of what are some, maybe some strategies they can use with these chronically disruptive students and behaviorally challenged students to help them to be better handled and better managed in the classroom. And that's been a real asset this year that we're so appreciative of. We also thank you for expanding our electrical capacity, approving that last spring, being able to have more electricity brought in. It's allowed us to, on this octagon part in the four classrooms down here, it's allowed us to put smart boards in, projectors to be used with those smart boards, and other technology that up to this point, we can buy all the technology we want, we just can't plug it in. But now we can plug it in and use it, so fantastic. Also, this year we've added two new teachers to our staff, and wow, they are fantastic. We were able to hire a brand new teacher, Alicia Nguyen, Audrey Nguyen, and Audrey Gordon from Cleveland, who got married about 2 weeks before school started, and she's a natural. She's just got some skills to work, some gifts as a teacher that you'd expect that, even with the hard groups she's teaching, that you were sitting in a veteran's classroom. And a lot of that has to do with the help from Amy, but she's been well prepared and well trained from Utah Valley State University, if that's the current name, like, I think it is. We've also been able to hire Alicia Burr, who is a 22-year veteran, I believe, from Jordan School District. And these two ladies, both by luck of, whether good luck, bad luck, they've had some real difficult classrooms and difficult groups assigned to them. And you wouldn't know it. There's so many times where I find myself sitting in these classrooms thinking, wow, what a sweet little class. And then I have to take off the glasses and look and, wow, so-and-so's sitting in that class. And there's some tough kids, but both of these teachers have really developed a great management in there that you wouldn't, some of the chronic behavior problems that we had in years past, they haven't even been to my office yet. And that's amazing. You see some of these kids smiling and happy where they've struggled in years past, but they're doing very well, and so appreciative of those two new hires, as well as the remainder of my faculty. Just a top-notch, experienced faculty that thinks it's a delight to come to work, as well as the staff that everyone pulls together and just makes a great difference. We'll be losing two of our aides in the near. Well, one of them, I believe, has submitted a letter of resignation, and one of them will be leaving for maternity. It's not a leave of absence, because she'll be resigning to become a full-time mom, which you can't falter that with this missus. Those will be coming across your desk, and we'll be looking to fill those positions, we hope. And then a couple other things that we appreciate. We've been able to have a testing lab put in to our school, where the Don has been able to bring in and do different computer trainings with entire district representatives from each district or each school in the district. It's roomy. The equipment is fantastic. They did a My Access writing program training there about 3 weeks ago, and it's just what an opportunity to have those extra resources so that primarily our fourth, fifth, and sixth grade classes are able to have some computer time in here with our lab, and they're able to go out there and do a lot of writing on the keyboard, and be happy to show you that lab if you're interested in looking after. And another component that is in place that has been here for a number of years that we're very pleased with is we sure appreciate having Santa Fe Junior High and the cooperation with the peer tutoring program of having a busing, being able to bring the students over, have the seventh graders read with our first and second grade students. The numbers fluctuate from semester to semester, and some quarters we get really a small showing, and then others we get more and a huge showing. And as our school's been growing, and we don't have a teacher workroom anymore, we have classrooms, and that gives us a little bit of harder. It's a little more difficult to find places to put the tutors and the tutees. We'll keep finding them, kind of finding the places because it's a fantastic program, and we just appreciate the support, not only from Santa Fe Junior High, but also from the board and from the district and allowing that program to go on. And those are just a few of the programs that we have going on here that many have been in place for a lot of years, but it sure just makes this a wonderful place for our young students to learn, to grow, to be prepared to move on to higher grades, and sure appreciate the support from each of you.
Thank you. We appreciate you giving that report. It kind of gives us a glimpse into what's going on, what you're focusing on, and appreciate that. And pass along our thanks to your staff and teachers and all that help with students. I know parents come in and help as well. So, yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Let's go ahead and go to the superintendent's report.
I just have one one other item to discuss with you. Tomorrow at 11:30, the governor is going to discuss or make public his budget recommendations, not only on next year's education and other budgets, but also this year. Because of the downturn in the economy, you understand that there are cuts that are being made to many agencies. In a meeting I went to Monday with this other superintendent from the state superintendent met with the governor, and it's his commitment or his attempt to try to minimize the impact on public education. Everyone keeps hearing the words hold harmless, and it's a bad phrase because it really doesn't bid well with other agencies who take cuts, when in reality education is taking cuts on this year and on next year's budget because of the conversion of, as I discussed before, the conversion of ongoing money to one-time money, which means for next year at least there's a $75 million deficit in public education statewide. And also, this year, there probably will be some programs that the legislature passed this last session that will be rescinded. And we're talking about $50, $60, $70 million there of program money for this year. And I know that he has asked for recommendations on an additional $20 to $30 million cuts for next year beyond the $75 million. But when he said hold harmless, what he's really talking about is trying to minimize the impact on the weighted pupil unit, which is the fund that is used to fund our teachers, our staff, the basic programs, and the classroom itself, the things that go on in the classroom. There are a lot of programs that could be eliminated and funds that could be eliminated, but what he's trying to do is protect the funds that go directly to the classroom and what we call the weighted pupil unit, which is the funding mechanism for education. So hold harmless is not a good term, but it is his attempt to minimize the impact on public education. But recognize, everyone needs to recognize that there are cuts in the millions of dollars that are being made to public education too. And it's going to be interesting to see over the next few years what impact that has, because if they start talking 4, 5, 10% cuts on the weighted people unit, that is obviously going to have a serious impact on staffing, class sizes, and programs that we have in the school district and in all of the school districts. And so, kind of doom and gloom right now. We hope that the economy picks up. It's not as bad in Utah right now as it is in many other states. Seeing an article the other day, I wish I could remember the state now, where they, this year, mid-year, have cut their budgets by the public ed schools by 25%. They didn't know how they were going to make it through that month in their payroll. But, it, you know, everyone knows the economy is serious right now, and it's struggling, and we'll all face that. The governor tomorrow will unfold his recommendations. The problem is getting the legislature to support that, because they're the ones that will have to make the final decisions on whether there are cuts that are made. And I really hope that we can get through this year without having to look at staffing cuts or cuts in personnel. But if they make deep cuts next year, we may not be able to avoid that. But it is something for us to be thinking about. And hopefully it's a magic wand will be waved over the world and it'll all change before that happens.
Thank you for that bright spot.
I thought I'd end on something optimistic.
Yeah. That's good.
A magic wand.
Yeah. Well, we've dealt with hard things, and we'll make it work.
It's nothing new to Emory School District. The last 15 years, we've been in declining enrollment. Actually, this is the first year, we started this year, the first year in 15 years when we didn't have a decline in enrollment. We actually have one more student than we had last time.
Thank you.
2,255 last year, 2,256 this year. One student, and it's the first time in 15 years we haven't had declines, which means loss of funding and cuts. So we were really excited, and then it broke loose. The economy.
Thank you. We will go to Jared for the business administrator's report.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Okay.
Shall I make the motion?
Let's do.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn our meeting.
We need to go to closed meeting.
Okay,
for
we
personnel.
Need to go to closed meeting.
Second.
I'll make that.
Oh, I thought we did the public comment on
that.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
The form, but,
yeah,
I don't know
anyone else? Public comment?
Yeah,
Mr. Hill?
A couple weeks ago, we got the opportunity to schedule a basketball game outside of Carbon-Emery County,
mm-hmm.
a tournament on next weekend. We thought it would be a great opportunity for our kids to go, since they're only getting about 5-6 games a year. They can pick up 5-6 games in these 2 days coming next weekend. We were wondering if we could get approval for that.
The problem is the board can't take
yeah.
action unless it's on the agenda. That's the new law. So and that came across the flyers came across our desk, and we had to basically indicate to the school that it isn't possible for two reasons. Number one, that two activities came across, and they both violate board policy. They have to have board approval, first of all, and then it was indicated on the one, or both of them, that they were not school activities, that they were not school-related, and that parents would provide transportation, which we could have a big, long dialogue about what constitutes a school activity and what doesn't. But any time that the coach or advisor is involved with a group of kids who make up a team, and they wearing uniform, then they are representing the school, so you can't divorce yourself from the school as an activity. So we're in a real pickle on this, because the board can't approve it, and it's a violation of board policy, but they can't make an exception to that policy and approve it, because by law it has to be on the agenda for them to take action. So we don't know how to respond to that. The board doesn't know how to respond to it. They're not even aware of it.
No,
I haven't shared it with
them. No. So are you saying that they could go and they're all, as a separate entity over to this?
No.
They can't.
Not if they're going as a team. Yeah, you can say that it's not school related or sponsored by the school. but by definition of your risk management insurance and the Attorney General's office, that if it involves the advisor or coach and involves the same people who are on a team or in an organization, and either of those would be enough. But then you add on to that, wearing the school uniform for the team and participating, it's a school activity. You can't say it isn't when it really is. It's one of those things where it's looks like a skunk, smells like a skunk, that's what it is. And that, I'm using the terminology that risk management used with us several years ago over an activity that we had in our school district.
Is this something that you were aware of several months ago, or?
Well, about two or three weeks ago.
If we have some notice ahead, we'd like to consider those things. So.
There's probably nothing we can do. I don't have an answer for you because it does require board approval.
Where is the activity?
It's in Texas. And it has to come before the board before, so. And it's unfortunate that that's the situation we're in. And it's not anyone trying to be mean about it. It's just the reality. If it's not board approved and you don't have, and it requires board approval because it's eighth and ninth graders going to a tournament, I don't know if you're staying overnight or not, but if you are, then it requires board approval because the board policy is that you don't. And the other thing is that you're allowed one game, I think, outside of the Carbonema County area for each sport, and that's in board policy. And so,
policy actually states that no game is supposed to be played outside of Carbonema County unless board approval.
Yeah, right.
But that was the motion that has to be on next month's agenda.
It is. But it's my understanding that is it just football that they're allowed one outside the area?
One football.
Yes, one football because of the limited number of.
Yeah, other than the ninth graders traveling at the high school time.
We're to the point now, ninth graders traveling at high school isn't possible because we don't have enough ninth graders, but high school takes most of our ninth graders.
Because ninth graders move up to the high
school. We're to the 5 or 6 games now. We get just in the good way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that the junior dad gets more games than we do.
We just became aware of it 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And we were made aware of it by parents. So, who had questions about it. And we, as a district office, I really feel bad about it and I apologize, but we don't have any choice. And the board can't take action on it because by law it's not on the agenda. So it's not a legal action. And if there were an accident and it was not board approved, then there's a liability that you can't take on yourself. So I don't know what else to do. I can't. It's more than the board can.
I'm not going to take on that. I don't think we can take on that responsibility either. But for future years, that's something that maybe we could plan for and you can look at ahead of time. And it's just unfortunate this isn't going to work this year. So. What's that? Did you have a comment?
Maybe there's another one coming up. Add on the agenda, we
can
work.
At least check it out.
Yep.
I'm sorry, folks. I really am.
Any other comments that we have?
It seems so simple, but it isn't. It's not a simple resolution.
So, can I just ask one question? So, the three issues are the same people wearing the uniform.
And the coaches.
Our risk management insurance who covers us on liability. You can't divorce yourself from saying it's a school activity if it's the same kids involved and the same advisor or coach. And it doesn't have to be all of these or these two and this one. It just said there cannot be an impression, or you cannot give any kind of, it can't appear to somebody, have the appearance that it's a school activity. Otherwise, it is a school activity and you carry the liability. And if you're going to have a school activity, it's better to have it approved by the board, take a bus, have all the coverage and the insurance coverage and the liability and enjoy the activity. But to say parents will transport you, it's not a school activity, but bring your uniform or if the same kids are involved in the team, it can get really ugly. Because it then becomes a school activity. You get into a lawsuit or into court, and a judge or lawyer is going to look at it and say, they're going to laugh at you and say, this is a school activity, and no matter how you want to call it, it's a school activity.
That would make the school liable for each individual crime?
Well, you're going to be liable for anything that happens, and you're going to be liable for neglect because you allowed them to go in private cars when it's a school activity. But the thing that the car owners need to understand is when you take private vehicles, even if it's approved by the board, the private vehicle owner's insurance is what covers those people while they're in that car. It isn't the school district. And so we try to limit the use of private vehicles. Matter of fact, that's another board policy, Lane and others. The board policy says that there will be no private vehicles used for junior high sports traveler activities. Just trying to get away from that liability. And I think if parents knew that use of private vehicles for school activities, that the liability goes with the car, not the school district. If, you know, the personal liability is on the individual car owner's liability insurance. Of course, anytime you prove neglect, then the school district is liable.
It eventually come back to the school district.
It's complicated.
No matter what, if it, yeah.
It has nothing to do with the event. It has nothing to do with how many games you get. It has to do with the situation we're in with this particular one and the fact that there's a policy on it and it can't be approved by the board ahead of time and it can't be called a non-school activity because of who's involved in it.
With that liability that you're talking about with the vehicle, does that apply to, say, if you travel to Christ with the junior high kids and you, as a family, go to
the
room and then you
bring
them back home?
No. Well,
if
you brought
other
kids back with you.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, your own children,
if
you're owning your own children in
the
car, then you're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a problem if something happened, yeah. It'd be your own.
Yes. So what would be the policy to hold a special meeting before they go to the tournament? What's the policy for no vacation and all that? When is the tournament
again? Yeah, is there a chance that it would ever be approved? I guess that'd be the question.
I think that the board would consider that in the future. There are laws on emergency meetings. And I'm not sure that you classify this as an emergency situation. It may be for you, but I don't know that it meets the definition of an emergency. All emergency board meetings. I don't.
To be honest,
my feeling as a board member is we have requested from the High School Activities Association that they cite, that they look at decreasing the number of the competitions. And I would be really, really hesitant to try to allow the junior highs to expand. Now that's just I know that's unpopular.
I think over the years the junior high competitions have decreased anyway, but because of the limited area, but again,
or maybe something closer, you know, that draws it to here, or, you know, other things. There might be some other options.
That has happened in the past. Our coaches have invited teams to come and play here in town, and then what happens is they want to reciprocate.
Absolutely. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they don't come at all.
Yeah. Policy doesn't prevent it if it has prior board approval. And
I think the problem here is the timing. To spring this on us is one, you know, if you have this planned out, it's on the schedule. We have these from other schools, and they bring it to us at the front, and they say, this is what we want, instead of coming to up with this. I think that's the problem of this situation. It's not anything personal. We can see that you're all wanting to go. There's a lot of parent support here. The students want to. It's something they've got hyped up, but the process hasn't been followed, and that causes a problem here, and it causes conflict in the community. I think we can stop this in future years by having that on the agenda, deciding where we're going to go, presenting it, see if it's acceptable, rather than to be mad at something that can't happen because it wasn't in place. That's my feeling. So, anyway, we appreciate your support. We understand it. I think another year would be better to pursue this. So that's my feeling. Any other?
We're with you all the way.
Any other comments that you have? Okay, I think a motion is in order then.
Again.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you again for coming and showing your support.
Are we going to move for another meeting, Laurel, or are we going to let you here?
I would love to.
I'm going to see you right here.
I'm in the castle. I live across the street from the city.
Now and then. Be careful. See you again. Really, since you said, you finally won one.
Is that what he said? Yeah, he's
a good guy.
What a guy.
Yeah.
How are you? Said he needed to do this
for fun.
That's what they always do. You know, the little germs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, and thanks for coming when you're not feeling well.
Yeah, I hope you feel
better. You're here. Right. Don't come back. Yeah. I think that's what it was. Did you put that? Was that the motion? Yeah. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
I thought that's what it was.
Okay, next.
I think we're going to start the closed meeting, so we'll get started here.
No, I want you here for this first discussion.
Yeah, thank you.
Want me to answer?
Yeah.
Yeah. We just have to kick Brian out of the
way. I'm packing up.
He's trying to get out. He'd like to get out of here like the rest of us.
Oh,
yeah. We invited Larry to come and join me also. Let's talk a little bit more about football. I didn't know we were going to have all the old stuff tonight.